Welcome to Healthy Made Easy with Dr. Drew, a show where you receive cutting-edge tips, tricks, and motivation to change your life. Join us as we debunk what doesn't work and give you truth about the art and science of health transformation. Here's your host, Dr. Drew Brazier.
Welcome to episode 13. This is Dr. Drew. I had the wonderful opportunity to interview Rod Hutchins, along with his personal trainer and our good friend here in the community, Mike the Trainer Taylor. This podcast is going to, it's a two-part podcast, I should say. It is going to change your life. I have a question for you. Have you ever felt like there's just too much going against you? Maybe you have a goal. Maybe you're trying to become more healthy. It could just be life in general is so hard. This podcast is for you. This podcast is for every human being that is trying to succeed but has setback after setback. You are going to see that while we talk with Rod in this two-part interview, he's going to take you to his experience of almost dying multiple times, of being paralyzed for a few months, being in the intensive care unit, the ICU, for several months. He's going to take you through his 23-year journey of a goal to make it to Ironman Kona. And he's doing just that. Here, this coming up spring, Rod is going to be participating in Kona, Hawaii, where they host the championships for Ironman. He's going to be doing the entire course just like they do in the championships, and they have it all set up for him. Rod is going to teach us of what it means to be a finisher, how we can learn from others, how to always come back with solutions whenever it seems like there's only problems standing in the way. He's going to talk to us about how to make simple decisions and the huge reward there is whenever we make those simple decisions of what can really happen. How can you develop toughness? He's going to talk to us about that. He's going to talk to us about leading by inspiration. And ultimately, he's going to teach us how to focus on possibilities and understand the importance of building the team around us in order to reach our goals in life. We know that we are more than four times likely to reach our goals whenever we have a positive support system. Rod is a very humble man. He is a hard worker, and he is a no excuses type of person. And it's not something that just was given to him. It's something he has developed. So let's dive in and jump right on in with Rod and Mike the Trainer. Here in these two parts, you're going to notice that Mike is not talking as much about the story part. We're going to bring him on for a third podcast episode because I really do want to hear from Mike on his take on training Rod, as Rod still has many setbacks in his training process. And that'll be a beautiful episode we'll do here in the weeks to come. Now, you're going to notice about halfway through in about 30-ish minutes or so, this part one will cut, and then part two will be released next week to dive down even further. So enjoy, and let's rock and roll. All right, everyone, welcome to this podcast episode. This is actually going to be a couple parts, and we are so excited. We have Iron Rod here with us right now, and Mike the Trainer Taylor. Hello, guys. Thank you for being here.
Hi, how you doing, Drew?
I am doing excellent. You know, when I saw you coming in on your bike, and you were looking, you were on your Bluetooth phone saying, Drew, where are you? And I said, well, if you keep riding your bike straight ahead, you'll run right through my window.
And I knew I was there.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. I was like, are you that guy out there just wandering around on your bike? So I'm glad that you made it here safely.
Thank you.
I have to admit that my ride in here today, I was just listening to your videos so I could, you know, listen to them before. I've been following you on Facebook, which, by the way, everyone that's listening, we will make sure to put in the show notes the link to the Iron Dream Team Facebook page so everyone can be following your journey. But I was listening to your videos, and I started to tear up on the way here. I was sitting at the intersection. I, like, pull my sunglasses down because there's people next to me. I'm like, oh, my gosh, I'm so inspired right now. And, you know, it reminded me whenever this is quite a while ago, I got in a skiing accident and had a compression fracture in my lower back.
Right.
And I was paralyzed for a matter of hours.
Yeah.
And as I was thinking about that, I was like, oh my gosh, that is nothing compared to what you went through, right? And at this time, I was trying to decide if I was going to continue playing college football or not. That couple weeks leading up to my incident, right. I was like, well, I guess that was my answer, and I started feeling really sorry for myself, but had to dig my way out. But I feel like yours is like a thousand, your story is a thousand more intense than what I went through, and truly inspirational. So I want to get to that point of what you're doing this year and the big races, but first, I want to hear about you. You as just a person, and kind of get to know some of your upbringing. Like, what led to you being able to be one of the most incredibly mentally tough and physically tough people out there? So tell us a little bit about that kid that was growing up, a little bit where you're from, what you're about. Share some of that with us.
Well, being that I'm 29, that's not too far at all.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. You're still young.
I just wanted to say, first of all, you know, there really is no comparison from one's experience to the other. You have a listening audience that's going through things maybe like what I've gone through or you've gone through, and to them, it's the biggest thing. And so that point is 1,000% change to anybody, because it's a pivotal point in your life. Mm-hmm. And we'll talk about that later. But what brought me to where I am today? Goodly parents. My mother and father worked hard. They taught us a hard work ethic. I was the eighth child of nine children.
Wow. So where are you from?
I'm from Ogden, Utah.
Oh,
born
nice.
And raised there. Went to Ben Lomond High School.
Oh, nice.
So I had to be tough, being one of the youngest, to survive.
Right.
You know, at the dinner table, when the prayer was said, if my fork wasn't in there, my spoon wasn't in the pot, I didn't get what I wanted.
Yeah. And I'm the youngest of seven in an Italian family. And so it was, I hear you. It starts there, yeah.
Anyway, I had parents that were very encouraging.
Uh-huh.
Their motto was, it doesn't matter what you do in life as long as you do it well. And be the best you can.
Yeah.
And have a commitment to that, and have a commitment to yourself to get it done. Be a finisher. And so I recall really quickly, one December 27th, we lived right in front of Mount Ben Lomond there, mm-hmm. in Ogden, Utah. And this is a big, big mountain that's 10,000 feet high. And we were going to go on a scouting event. And a lot of the parents said, no, the snow will be too deep, it will be too cold, it will be all that. And my mom said, go and have fun, just behave yourself. Well, little did she know that we had garbage bags in our backpack and our swimming suits. And we went glissading down these great big rock fields in the snow. And so it was kind of an adventure-type-like lifestyle that was encouraged.
Yeah.
We were taught respect. We were taught that you can learn a lot from other people,
mm-hmm.
or you can go through it on your own and figure it out. And so those principles were really instilled, and we were taught principles of honesty and integrity, and leaving people better than we found them. So that mindset really opened up a field for me. I had a hot temper when I was very young. I was a redhead. And looking back now,
just a couple of years ago, because you're still,
yes, this is
29.
Still 29. That's right.
So you're just
looking back now,
years ago.
You know, I was always getting in fights, and because I was bigger of stature, I was always winning that. So you know, there was nothing to stop me. And I recall one incident after 3 or 4 years of being in that modality for so long. The principal called me and my parents back in. I had just been in a fight that day, or that previous day, and he says, "I've expelled you." He says, "I've kicked you out of school, and you're still back, and you're still fighting." And then he just sat and looked at me right in the eye for 15 minutes without blinking, and I'm getting a little uncomfortable. I'm looking at my mom and my dad, and they're going, "You're dead when we leave, you know? You've had it, boy." And he says, "When I get up, I'm going to come back with a solution." And I just thought to myself, yeah, sure. And that attitude, I think, is the attitude that sometimes we have in the environment we're in. Yeah, I'm paralyzed. So to come out of it, yeah, sure, right. But he came back in about 15, 20 minutes later, and he said, I have an idea, and I'm going, bring it on. I'll be in a fight tomorrow. That mentality of staying in the same old habits that I had been in, okay, that my cells had been, it was a cellular process. And he said, in 2 weeks, we have an assembly. We have a ventriloquist that's coming in, and we'd like you to introduce him. I'm going, really? You're not expelling me again or anything like that? And then he said, but you have to stop fighting for 2 weeks. And I said, okay, done. It was just a simple decision, Drew.
Yeah.
And so for 2 weeks, I didn't fight. And in the sixth grade, I introduced that ventriloquist. And that was the change of the direction that gave me the toughness that I have. Because what he did is he recognized that I had energy in me, and we all do, but we're seeking our purpose. And when we find our purpose, then we have passion. And when we have passion, then we love life. And we don't see challenges as challenges. We see them as stepping stones and opportunities to get better. And so all of those things that we're going to talk about, to me, weren't challenges. They were just stepping stones. They were the 15 minutes I'm going to have an idea. And sometimes in that process, what I've had to learn, and I'll talk a little bit more about this later, is a reliance upon God. It is because of God's good mercies that I'm here today on this incredible journey that's touching millions of people across the world with incredible dream team members. I mean, just the best of the best you can get from all across the country. And it's touching people. It's giving them hope. But I had to decide that I was going to go through that process. And I had to do it without knowing that this was the end result. And I'll talk a little bit about the goal I set when I was paralyzed from the neck down. Mm-hmm. And so that was the upbringing I had. I went on, got involved in Explorer Scouting. I was National Vice President for the Western Region, Explorer President for the Western Region over 9 states in Hawaii. And I was National Vice President, 1 of 6. That led me on to the opportunity to get a presidential leadership scholarship, where I was able to go to a resort for 1 week and mastermind with an incredible individual, a businessman, some type of service project I was going to take back to the community and give back. Mm-hmm. And this gentleman was the head of Chrysler at the time. And it was just an honor. We got aligned. And he taught me a lot of things about community. He taught me a lot of things about how to have results. And so that became the foundation of my service to people. So pretty much that's it. That took me through all my high school years. I was involved in drama, sports, music. Loved to play. Back then we didn't have the iPods and the phone, so playing was basketball.
They didn't have those 5 years ago?
I guess I'm 29. Hold on. Let me back up a minute.
Yeah. Yeah.
Just a few years. So that's kind of the journey that, just the front end of that journey that was the formative journey that would give me the strength and the tools and the mentality to later on be able to draw upon those, utilize them, and get through some pretty horrific, difficult Herculean situations.
Yeah, well, and I love what you're saying whenever you're talking about that, I'll come back with a solution. I'm someone, from a professional perspective, a personal perspective, is if somebody comes to me with a problem, like, okay, so what's your solution for it? Come with me with one problem and come back with 3 solutions.
That's right.
Is what I
that's
always
right.
say.
That's
right?
good. That's
and,
good.
And I think that's the same way when we're looking at our health. Right, when we're looking at our own goals in life, is if we fall into that learned helplessness, well, there's nothing I can do here.
You're a victim of your own circumstance.
Exactly. Instead
your
of
own
survivor.
Circumstance.
Right?
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
And so if we have that survivor mentality, right, in that growth or that post-traumatic growth, if you will, that there are solutions.
Yes, right? Always.
And I think that's a huge piece that I don't want to miss here. And also the fact of some of these people you're learning from your principal, from this Chrysler executive that you're talking about. And that was in high school that you got to do that?
Yes, yes. Wow, I was 17, traveling all across the nation every 2 weeks.
That is awesome.
And they still passed me to graduate.
If not, you just beat them up. Anyway.
No, I was done by that time.
Oh, gotcha, gotcha. Solution was there. But yes. Then I love what you know, at the high school age of that, it's a simple decision. I love that as well. I think that's a huge point that you're bringing up, Rod, of in all reality, you know, we spend so much time. I've spent thousands of dollars in my own life since I was a kid of coaching and my own counseling and all these different, you know, mentors. And I love having mentors.
Sure.
But sometimes when it comes down to it, it is just that simple decision. Yes, we have to learn from people, but it's a simple decision.
If that decision is not made internally.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter how good the team I'm assembled with is, it's not gonna work.
Yeah.
And it's not gonna work simply because of the fact that I am the instigator of that mentorship, and therefore I project the action and result from it.
Yeah. Yeah. No, absolutely. Man, this is perfect. I feel like I'm hearing an audible book from you right now. This is great. But one other thing a couple other things that I'm hearing from childhood of lessons that were huge in your upbringing of being a finisher, learning from others, leaving them better than what you found them in service, right?
Yes, yes.
This is a lot of like selflessness. Yeah. And I think there's a huge, not I think, I know there's a huge correlation between being selfless and grit, right? If we can truly take care of ourselves, but also think of how we can help other people.
Absolutely.
Right? Mm-hmm. We are going to be able to dig down.
Yes.
And I see that from people all the time. And so I think that's so cool. But tell me just a little bit, then you get through high school, you're done with the fighting, you're on that decision of there's solutions in life and really, you know, sounding empowered in life. Tell me some about the early adulthood, college, or whatever you did there and some of that.
I went on an LDS mission.
Okay.
And I went to Venezuela, so I learned a language.
Oh, excelente.
That was a huge experience because I didn't have my parents there. I was in a foreign land, and I had to apply all those things I learned.
Uh-huh.
And so that, I kind of matured quite a bit during that time. Came home, got married. I continued to be involved in leadership roles all the way to today. Today I sit on the board of several major institutions here in town. And so it was that type of service, it was that type of direction that started to form my passion.
Mm-hmm.
Because when you lead, if you're going to have people follow you, you're going to inspire them to action instead of dictate what they're going to do.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was very successful in business. We started having children, and my career got moving forward. Mm-hmm. And it was awesome. I look back, I've never had a job that I've not thought highly of. But I went on to work as the administrator of a business college down in Utah. I started building a national, international distribution business and started working with professionals in that arena, and found that I just loved the environment of being around people. Found that I loved in this passion of being able to set up teams that could be productive, teams that could make things happen. And my forte is just to do that. On these boards, it's how do we collaborate with the community to have a result, much like the Iron Dream Team. And so that process started to develop. I've always been healthy. When every summer I would go to the Tetons, where I was a high adventure guide working at a Boy Scout camp, backpack 600 to 800 miles, and I had groups that I would have to take out, so I had to be tough.
Mm-hmm.
We were out in bear country. I was the one that they would come to if something happened, and we weren't just like we could run down to the local hospital. We were out in the middle of four national parks,
mm-hmm.
and so that mentality of toughness was a mentality that I was able to start to develop with the teams that I built. Let's not just go with status quo. Let's take what is the best in us. And even if people think we're overachievers, let's go to our standard of doing things, because we're only limited by our own limitations of what we can see. And in health challenges, in financial challenges, marital challenges, mental challenges, those are all real, and those all are 1,000%, like you said, mm-hmm. you know, to the people out there. But here's the reality. Either you're empowered or you're a victim. And the empowerment then gives you 5,000% to conquer it. Mm-hmm. And so all your challenges now become stepping stones. And they have incredible results once you make that decision to move forward. And so I developed a lot of teams, had a lot of success, had my own business, worked in finance for a number of years, worked as a business college administrator. And that's kind of, during those years, what my life was like.
And you said something, you said a lot of really cool things. One is you said develop toughness, right?
Yes.
And I think this is something, you know, Mike and I talk a lot about, is it's not just something that's given to you.
No.
Right? Are you in the line of thought that anyone can develop that toughness?
I'm in the line of thought that everyone can develop that toughness, that everyone can develop the future that they see with God's good grace and mercy, and that they can reach their highest potential, everyone that chooses to. It goes back to the choice. So it's not limiting to our circumstances. It is simply limiting to our own mentality and how we neurolinguistically talk to ourselves. Mm-hmm. And that is why I say everyone can do it. Anyone in this listening audience can take out a piece of paper, and I'll talk a little bit about this, like I did when I was paralyzed and told that I was going to die. I went ahead and put 70 goals down that I wasn't going to die. But that message that I was going to die changed my life, because we take so much for granted. And when we then realize that God's granted us an extra day, it just adds purpose, passion, and value.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Man, that's beautiful. Now, one thing I see is people will get kind of fogged, I like to say. In other words, there's so many different opinions out there of what people need to do to get motivated or to live more healthy. And it's almost like they enter into the state of paralysis, if
Absolutely.
You will. Because they don't know mm-hmm. where to start.
Mm-hmm.
So just real quick, like if anyone can develop that toughness, where do they start? Like, how does somebody start with that?
Again, throughout this podcast, you're going to find common themes. The first thing is to make a choice. So when I started putting these teams together, and if we're okay now to talk about the Iron Dream Team.
Yeah, absolutely.
What I did is I had to say, what are my limitations? Let me be real with myself. I'm paralyzed. I've gone through all these surgeries. I have no immune system. I've got high medication that I'm taking, you know, powerful medication. What is my goal? Well, I'd set that goal when I was paralyzed 23 years ago.
Yeah. Tell us a little bit about leading up to this of being paralyzed. Do you mind telling us about that so we can really hear that
the
experience?
The portion of the paralysis?
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah.
I mentioned that I was working, I owned an international business, and I was actually traveling to Colorado one night. So I would work at the college, and then I would leave in the evening, and then I would travel to various states to help these distribution centers. And in traveling to Colorado, it took me 15 hours for a typically 4-hour drive. And I had diarrhea and was throwing up, I mean, nonstop.
Ooh.
It wasn't just a matter of pouring.
Just a hit, right?
Yeah, it wasn't a matter of just pulling over and throwing up. Mm-hmm. It was throwing up after you've pulled over in the car, and it just continued. So I got to the hotel, and I had to stay there for a day or two. I was just sicker than sick. And then came back, and over the next 30 days, my body went through a state of needles. Like when you have pins and needles, you stand up and your leg's asleep and it goes numb, and then it has the pins and needles. My whole body went through that state for 30 days. And as it did it, it just taxed it such that at the end of the 30 days, my wife took me to the hospital, and said, something's wrong, you got to take care of him. And I look like a 100-year-old man on a cane walking in. I was in my mid-30s. And so in the medical field, and what I want your audience to understand is that that fog is often created by so many opinions. And that process in the medical field is the process of elimination. So they're trying to figure out what was going on. You know, we had 10, 15 tests. We had spinal taps. We had everything. And there was no answer. And when you're in that situation, if you don't have the right team, that is frustrating. That's discouraging. That can almost be defeating. So finally, one day, my left arm stopped with the pins and needles. And I was thinking, yes, but I couldn't move it.
How long was that after this initial trip out to Colorado?
30 days.
Whoa, okay.
30 days. So I had my left arm paralyzed. Well, then that gave the doctors an idea of what was going on. Because then they said, okay, what we think you have is Guillain-Barré, or the slang for French polio. And we hope you have your affairs in order, because we don't know how long you're going to be in the hospital. And that's a wake-up call. So what Guillain-Barré is, it's where a virus attacks your myelin sheath, deteriorates it, and then goes ahead and starts affecting your joints, your nerves, and your muscles. And so I would go through neuropathy with this. Even today, neuropathy. Incredible amounts of neuropathy pain. And so they started testing, but here was the challenge. The hospital that I had gone to had only seen 4 cases in 28 years, and I was their 4th case. It was rare. This was very rare. They didn't know how to treat it. So they sent me down to the University of Utah, where with that in mind, we started moving forward. And I would be there paralyzed, losing the function of my body as the virus moved up the trunk and out to the extremities. And there was no rhyme or reason, so they put you in the intensive care unit. They have you on a video camera where they can see you on the TV at the nurse's station, and they can see you personally, because when that moves, they've got to be ready. And so it moved, and it went into my right leg, and then it went into my left leg, and then it went into my arm. Now, for some, not all, it then goes to the lungs, and you don't have use of your lungs. So they have the machines there to pump them, and then it goes to your heart. And they do the same. And then when that virus is through and it starts to descend, then they can start taking you off as you show the ability to use functionally those parts. Well, that went on for 3.5 months. But here's the challenge. I also got an infection when I was in there, because so much testing, so much blood drawing, so many, many spinal taps.
Yeah.
Yeah, I ended up with an infection that caused strep and staph.
Oh.
I remember laying one time after a spinal tap on my left ear. And when I got up, there was a pool of pus. Now, that's a little gross for your audience, but no, I want to be real here.
Yeah.
I want to be real here. And my body was building a quick tolerance to the medicine. So they would give me drugs, and it was like taking Smarties.
No, okay. And it tasted good, though, right?
No, it didn't. You know? And so what happened was, there came a point in time when a doctor came in and said to my wife, he had called her and said, I'd like to meet with you and Rod, and said, hey, we've tried 5 of the 6 cannons on Rod. Cannons meaning major drugs to stop these infections, stop this virus, and he's building immunity to them. So we're going to try one more, but there's a very good chance that you will pass away within the next several weeks. You know, to the listening audience, you don't have to get that far to make choices. But if ever you get to that far, I'm going to promise you, it will change your life. Because everything that you thought was important, climbing up the corporate ladder, the titles, this and that, when you're at that point, it just puts it all in perspective. And I remember hearing that and watching, you know, the emotion my wife had. And when everybody left, I just said, God, I'm not going yet. I have 5 kids, and they need me, and so I'm staying here. And the next day, I had a son come in, and he wrote for me 70 goals that if I was given a second chance, I would accomplish. And they were not goals like, you know, I'd like to go to St. George. These were goals that were huge, that were service-oriented. I wanted to get a doctorate degree. I wanted to write books. I wanted to help families at Christmas, but not just one, 100. That level. Of course, being that level, one of those goals was I wanted to complete the Ironman. And I wanted to get a black belt in martial arts. A black belt so I could get the agility from a paralyzed body that I didn't know was ever going to come back. And finish the Ironman in my own race, on their course, doing what they do, so that I could have the endurance. And so those two goals are the goals now that I'm working on.
Wow. Wow. And just, it was the day after then, you were told... was it the day after? How soon after being told you only are going to have a few more weeks to live? How quick after that did you set these goals?
Within 24 hours. It was the day he was there that afternoon, and it was the morning, late morning, when my son came in.
Wow. And you, in hearing what you said too, in your words of, you told God, okay, with your higher power, you set a boundary and said, "Oh, this is my will here a little bit too, right?" And I there's more I need to do in this life. Right?
Well, what happens when we declare that in the law of attraction? We are now engaging the universe. We're engaging, guardian angels. We're engaging a whole aspect that pulls together for that, if that is God's will and His tender mercies. Now, I hadn't thought ever before then that I would do those goals. Those were goals that came just inspiration.
Yeah.
I never wanted to do the Ironman. It'd never been an aspiration. But then it became an aspiration. And I got rid of the idea of climbing up the corporate ladder and having to appease people and, you know, to do all these things to a more oriented life that was service with value and purpose that would elevate people all around me. Mm-hmm. And as I looked at those goals, they were godsend. Mm-hmm. So when you sit down and make your goals and you say, I think I would like to do this, that's not godsend. But when you sit in meditation and you say, I am going to do this, now it's godsend. Mm-hmm. Because now you've started to change the neuro-linguistic cellular process of your body. And your self-talk now then starts to change bad habits, and you go into this reality of making it happen one step at a time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, wow. And you had to take those steps. That's beautiful, right? And so what I would like to hear a little bit about this is when you said, I'm going to get that black belt, I'm going to do an Ironman. Why? Why did you want to do the Ironman? Like, what was that? What did you want to accomplish with that?
You know, that's a great question. I've thought about that often, because, like I said just previously, that was not an aspiration I'd had. But this is the reality of where my mentality was at that time. And it goes back to community. It goes back to toughness. I had to have a goal bigger than the challenge I had, which was facing death and paralysis, never knowing if I would walk again, never knowing my ability to function with quality of life. And those goals at that time in that area were goals that would pull me through that. And so I could look beyond my challenge of being paralyzed, of being told that I was going to die, because what do most people do? They start pulling family in, and then they send out to the universe, they're going to die, and guess what happens? It's all mental. Mm-hmm. Now, there are times when it's not. I get that.
You could have gone hospice or Ironman.
I could have.
Right.
I could have.
That's a crossroad if I've ever seen.
And nine out of ten go hospice.
Yeah.
And have paralysis for the rest of their life. Because they accept that. Mm-hmm. Well, those goals taught me not to accept that, but to rise above it. And so those two goals, I knew if I could accomplish them, I would pull through all of that and do better than most natural humans who have never had any health challenges do things that they couldn't do. And that, to me, was huge.
Yeah, and you're just a guy coming from a family of eight having to fight for his own dinners and...
Family of nine.
No, family exactly. of nine, yes, sorry. Uh-huh. Family of nine. To that, right?
Yes.
I mean, you're just another guy, but through your choices, right? Through what you said here, setting a goal bigger than your challenge.
That's right.
Has literally transformed you.
Yes.
And who you are.
Yes.
Right? Which I think is incredible. Now, I'm wondering, your wife, in that situation, she's getting the news, you got a few weeks, you're like, let's get ready for Ironman, right down the road, obviously. Like, what was her reaction to that? How did she receive all that?
Well, it's not only her reaction, Drew, that's an excellent question as well. What you have to understand is that people look at where you are, not where you're going. Mm-hmm. You have to focus where you're going and not where you are. Where you are is just one step closer to get where you're going. Mm-hmm. And so, of course, then the doctor started thinking I was having psychotic episodes. You want to do the Ironman? Really? You can only imagine.
I'm glad they didn't call me in to do that assessment, because I would have came out and they would have hospitalized me too. Like, you're crazy, because I would have been there.
But let me share this with you. Even now, all the way through this process, when I went through the 9 surgeries in 9 months, I went to doctors. I went to 2 doctors. One's world-renowned. He works on NFL, Super Bowl players and everything. And he looked at me, and I told him the goal. I said, hey, can you help me get back my health? I want to do the Ironman. He says, look, you're at this age, and I just want to give you some friend counsel, not medical counsel. Let it go. That's a good goal you've had. And then he set me on the table, and he twisted my leg to the point that I almost punched him. It hurt so bad. How many times do you think I went back to him? None. Yeah. Even though he was as good as he was not the right team member for me. So I went to another doctor. And this doctor was a general practitioner who practiced medicine, but also natural healing, kinesiology, things like that, homeopathology, all of those things. And so he had a doctorate degree in both. And it was actually natural healing of health, doing the right things, eating the right things, thinking the right things, reducing stress, that actually had me pull out originally of that paralysis.
So it wasn't a magic pill or a magic protein shake.
No,
or power
no,
bar or something.
No.
Of that. Okay. Wow. That's, yeah, like you're saying, it was you with the right healing.
There was a doctor in Las Vegas that was a chiropractor, but he was very accomplished in the area of natural healing. Mm-hmm. And he flew up to Utah because I was too weak to go to Las Vegas. And he said, in a year, I'll have you ready for the Ironman. Well, my other option from the hospital is they wanted to send me back to, the clinic, the clinic, that Mayo Clinic.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, and do more testing. And I was like, okay, duh. And so I went with this doctor, and he came up for 2 or 3 months, and he would do adjustments, and then he would give me natural supplements and vitamins. And then he'd say, okay, you've got to do these things to cleanse your liver and your kidneys, and then you've got to reduce your stress, and you've got to have self-care. Don't be driven by your mind to get everything done, because that's been your life. You've got to change that neuro-linguistic thinking. When your body says stop, you stop. You learn to have a good relationship with your body, and so I did that. And 1 year later, no needles, no blood tests, nothing. I was ready to start training for the Ironman again.
Wow. And when was that? How long ago was that?
Oh, gosh. It's been over 23 years. I think that was the early 90s where that took place.
Wow. Now take me from then to today of this past 23 years of this whole process. And okay, my friends, we are going to push pause on this until the next episode, which will be released in 1 week. Every Thursday, we release our podcast here at the Healthy Made Easy Show. So please join us next week, and as we dive in deeper on Rod's journey of how he made it through what he did to be able to arrive at Kona Ironman. All right, we'll see you next week. Please do like our podcast, share our podcast, whatever it may be, on social media with it. We'd love to hear your feedback. We will see you next week.
Thank you for tuning in to another Cutting Edge episode with Dr. Drew. Please make sure to get your free downloadable. Remember, you are the answer you're looking for.